Hey, it's the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton, as your host today, and my guests. Happy to have this young couple, Craig and Krisha Robin. Welcome, you two. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
And the reason you're here, you're great friends, love you guys, but also because you are big Indiana, both graduates of Indiana, Krisha played volleyball very well at Indiana, and Craig played football very well at Indiana. I think you were a captain your senior year.
Yes, sir. Three-year starter, team captain as a senior, and those weren't quite as successful times as what we saw this year, but still.
I know. And we're going to talk about just this wave with Indiana. Yeah. You know? But before we do, you've got some children we want to mention. How many you got? Three?
We have three daughters.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we have Mabry. She's 18 and a senior at Carrollton High School. And we have Landry, who's 16 and a sophomore at Carrollton High School. And then we have Brooksley, and she's 14, eighth grade at St. John's in Carrollton.
Now, are they into volleyball as well?
All three of them play.
Are they?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep, all three.
Yes. They doing pretty good?
Yeah. We had a great high school season for the older two. And Mabry finished out her career with 1,000 digs, which was pretty great for her. And she had a good career, and she's done now though. And Landry's our setter for the high school team, and then Brooksley, her little eighth grade team won state last year as seventh graders. So and they're currently undefeated. So we'll see how they do this year.
Are you coaching them?
I do. Yes. Okay. Yes, I do. I do. Yeah.
Man, that's so great. Mm-hmm. Craig, what have you been up to?
Just following these girls volleyball. And of course, I'm busy with work, traveling with work all the time. But just to dote on Mabry for a second, our oldest, she wants to study business finance in college. Yeah. And she applied to Notre Dame, Illinois, Mizzou, Indiana, our alma mater, which mm-hmm. Has an excellent business school. And she applied to UT Austin in Texas. And she got accepted to all of those schools, which had I ever even gotten a letter from Notre Dame, growing up Catholic in Calhoun County, I would have been thrilled just to get the letter. And she has decided she's going to Texas, so we're happy about that. We're kind of preparing for that adjustment in our life. It's taking up a lot of my energy, how we're going to pay for that, how that's going to work and all that stuff.
So you guys were both playing sports in Indiana. When did you meet? How'd you get together?
We actually didn't meet until after we had both graduated.
Really?
Yes. So we can probably name, I'd say 10 times we were in the same room in college, as far as either like a training table where they used to feed us preseason or at a postseason awards banquet. But he graduated a couple years before me, and we just both happened to be back at homecoming at Indiana, and we had a lot of mutual friends who introduced us. And
oh, you have to tell a story. So first of all, real quick, I got to do the preamble of this. It was the first time I'd gone back to IU since I graduated, and my roommates and I were tailgating at the game.
So what year was this? I mean, how many years later?
Well, say 2 years.
Okay.
2 years. So this is like 02?
It was 02.
And my roommates and I actually got in a wrestling match at the tailgate after the game, and the cops handcuffed us, did not believe we were friends, okay? So we're wrestling in the mud. We're sitting in the mud handcuffed. We finally talk our way out of that, and we're like, what are we going to do now? We're like, well, we're going to go to Nick's, which is the big bar on campus. So we're all muddy, so we basically just turned our shirts inside out and put them back on.
Yeah.
And then went to the tavern. And that's when her and all of her friends were there. And you have to, it's kind of funny.
Well,
it's maybe the first time I didn't beg a woman of her caliber to talk to me.
Worked out.
So I was originally from Jacksonville, Illinois. And my uncles were longtime officials for both basketball and football for the IHSA. And so long story short, my brother takes a visit to Indiana for football, and he eventually ended up going to Arkansas State for football, but he was on a visit, and my mom was looking at the program for football and was like, oh, here's that Craig Robine from Calhoun County your uncles have talked about just from reffing games. If you ever meet him, you have to introduce yourself. Well, I never met him in all of college. We never were introduced. I never met him. And so that night when the guys tell me, oh, that's, because I said, I don't know that the guy there sitting on the end. And they said, that's Craig Robine. And so I went up and introduced myself.
Who's that handsome man on the end of the town?
So I just went up and introduced myself. And he turned around and goes, great, you can go home and tell Mama you met me. And I was like, oh, no. And I walked away. I was so unimpressed. I was like, okay, whatever. Walk away. And, you know, that could have been the end. That could have been it.
Well, I think it might be in most cases.
Yes. And but a couple hours later, we all ended up at a different bar, and I think he sat at my table and engaged me in conversation.
Tried a different approach.
and so here we are. Here we are today. So
That's great.
Yep.
Okay. Well, how about this this Indiana football team? You guys, did you go to any games last year?
We did.
Yeah.
It was awesome. We because she coaches high school volleyball as well at Carrollton, we don't since the kids, we haven't had a chance to go a lot of games, you know, since we were done there. But last year, when I say last year, 2024, we got to go to the Purdue game, which is always the last game of the year, which is the big rivalry. So if you went to Indiana, you hate Purdue.
Right.
If you went to Purdue, you hate Indiana. And hey, I know hate's a strong word, but it's a it's that type of rivalry. So we went to the Purdue game last year, which was the end of Cignetti's first year.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had a really good season, really only lost in a regular season at Ohio State. And then we go to the Purdue game, and they just beat them badly. It was 67-0. It was bad. She is the fanatic. Like, it's freezing cold snowing that day. It's like late third quarter. I'm like, I'm ready to go. And she's...
And I say, no, we're going to stay for the whole thing, and we're going to celebrate this whole thing. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Oh, shoot. And then, so you're excited about the next year starting with. What about Cignetti? Any comments?
We don't know him. We went back to the stadium, and, you know, when you go back, they do a good job of treating you like family. There's still people there that we know. The director of football operations, or now he's alumni relations, was my position coach. He's still around. And we donated for the locker room about 5 years ago in Indiana, built a new locker room. So you donate, you get your name in a locker, you know.
Right.
And I will tell you, Indiana has invested. And this was 5 years ago. So the officials were coming in there and saying, this locker room looks like Ohio State's, you know. And that stadium in the 20 years at the time since I had played, every room, meeting room, everything had been renovated. Both ends of the end zone had been closed in. So the mantra at the time in college football was kind of like, hey, this won't guarantee success, but not making these investments will guarantee failure. And I think you've seen that at Illinois, at Northwestern. You see it everywhere. It's like an arms race. So having gone back, you know, Cignetti, we never got to meet him when we were there. But obviously, he's been a dramatic change for
he's
the program.
Else, isn't
yeah, it? Yeah. Everybody loves him. He does his. He's so genuine, you know. In his halftime and pregame, I think my favorite pregame was this year at Penn State when he said, "Do you realize that Indiana has never won at Penn State?" And he's like, "This team's never played at Penn State." You know, so just that kind of. That part of him, I think, is what everybody loves. But
I think the best thing I've heard is, you know, when he gave his very first pep rally inside Assembly Hall during a basketball game last year, it was his whole Purdue sucks moment, but so does Ohio State and Michigan, you know, and the crowd goes crazy and everybody kind of, ha, 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 you know.
I thought that was laughable. Big words, obviously.
And I think the best thing I've heard, though, is somebody said he walked with that kind of swagger, right? And he somehow managed to under promise what he was going to deliver. Like, when he said those words, no one would believe that they would do what they've done. And somehow those words were an under promise of everything he's delivered to the school. It's just incredible what he's done.
Yeah. I heard, you know, just he used the portal to bring a lot of players in, and he brought players in that were just kind of, you know, they weren't 5-star. You know, mm-hmm. they didn't get treated maybe like they should have. They were kind of mad. Mm-hmm. This is what I heard. That's what I heard.
Right. So I think it's a case study, and it's kind of set the bar, a new bar for everybody in college football. Not even college football. For me as a manager at work, it's kind of like, if this guy can come to Indiana and do this in 2 years, how come we aren't? You know, it's like, and the thing that he says, he said a lot, and a lot of people have broken it down, how they've done what they did with the recruits that they have, is he says that I value production over potential. So today when you use the portal, it used to be forever, you recruit talent, right?
Right.
And you develop it. Those days are over,
yeah.
Right? So I have a college roommate that's going through this right now. His son has an opportunity to go to Oklahoma in some capacity, and then he's got opportunities elsewhere. And, you know, and you wonder, is the play, do you go somewhere that you can, you know, you can play rather than develop? And then you potentially have these opportunities like with in the portal to transfer somewhere that sees you in action, you know, rather than as a potential.
Yeah, when you think about it, both of you being, you know, being athletes, you know, how many people did you know, or maybe you guys didn't experience, where you go and you felt like you just never got the respect that, you know, that they, and they leave, you know, or quit,
right.
You know, or just don't want to carry on, you know, but in the right situation, you know, that's what he did, which was fantastic.
He likes the lower star recruits because he said they're still hungry. Right. They're hungry to get after it. They haven't gotten their flowers yet, you know, per se. And so they're hungry. They get after it because they have that chip on their shoulder to prove how good they are. And you see that through the players he has. Right. They're awesome.
I think he said, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but you work with what you got, right? And when you came from James Madison like he did, he brought some of those proven players, brought in some more experience. Well, now with this success they've had, clearly you're not going to turn down 5-star, you know, athletes.
Sure.
You know, now they're going to draw those type of players.
Right.
So now it's probably like a culture fit type of thing. I don't know. Yeah. We're speculators like everybody else.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Craig and Krisha Robine, graduates of Indiana and played at Indiana in their college career, and big fans of Indiana and went to the games. Went to all the games. Tell us about, first of all, you know, that was kind of a big commitment, you know, to break away and go, right? I mean,
it was humongous. And I'll start real quick. First of all, I would say we're Big Ten fans. So, like, if this was Illinois or Minnesota that did this last year, we would 100% be following that and supporting them. Mm-hmm. We are huge Big Ten fans. You know, there's always, if you were there, big pride associated with the Big Ten. But for us this year in following Indiana, we were sitting at the kitchen table the morning of the Big Ten championship game that was being played in Indianapolis. And I was looking at the ticket prices and kind of estimating what a weekend to see this game might be.
The morning?
Yeah, the morning of.
Morning of.
But, and I don't really want to get into the details of that. I'll just say that it's enough to make you think real hard about it, you know, what you're doing. But I looked at her and I'm like, you know what? Indiana hasn't beat Ohio State since 1988, and they're good enough to beat them. I don't know if they will. And it's in Indianapolis. It's for the Big Ten championship. If this all works out and we weren't there, we would be upset. So we bit the bullet and we made the trip.
We literally bought the tickets, told the girls, pack your bags, we're leaving in 30 minutes, and we were on the road, like truly on the road. And we actually have a picture that circulated through my family that I took a selfie in the truck telling my family, like, we're going to the game, and all the girls are back there, like, doing hair and makeup in the back of the truck, like, on our way to the game. So it was wild, but yeah.
That is wild.
And I'll tell you, having been a football fan and a person, you know, you played, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, when I saw Ohio State's defensive line in that game, I don't know how closely, you know, people that follow college football closely, they would tell you that Miami had an unbelievable defensive line. They got Jason Taylor, former NFL, you know, all-pro coaching them. He played for the Dolphins. Ohio State had an outstanding, I mean, when you talk about talent size, their defensive line was incredible. And that game was a slugfest. Anybody that watched that game, I think, could just really appreciate the defense that was played, the risks that were taken, And for Indiana to come out on top in that game, you know, that was like the first big surprise. If there's one team I think that should be upset this year, Ohio State had it all. Like, they had the defense, they had the quarterback, they had an outstanding team. But to after they beat them, then you just kind of get swept up in it.
I was going to say, so during that game, the very first play after kickoff, Indiana has the ball. We start the series, and they get a hit in on Mendoza, and he's laying on the field, and the crowd was Indiana heavy for sure, and the whole stadium went silent, and Craig was like sick to his stomach. Like, we've just spent all this money and driven over here.
His butt spent this money to come here, and he got hurt on the first play.
Yeah, and he's just laying there, and everybody's just like, just this moment of like, oh my gosh, what just happened? And he leaves the floor or the field, and his brother comes in, and then it was just like this, when he comes running back out, and he later said, he's like, it was a clean hit. I just got the air knocked out of me. He's like, I had no wind left, and so he had to come off. He comes back on, and it was like when he came on, the crowd just came alive, and that was so, I mean, it was just so much fun. And then the kind of one big notable moment that I just remember is when they missed the field goal. Everyone forgets we missed a field goal that game too, but they missed a field goal going into the half that would have tied us up. It was 10-7, and it would have tied us up, and that place went nuclear. Like, it just went, the sound was deafening inside that stadium.
So you have to say that was probably 60-70% Indiana there.
Correct. It
was
in Indianapolis. Indianapolis.
Yeah.
But that was the least of the sway in terms of fans. And when we went to the Rose Bowl, it was 85% Indiana fans out there.
So we've just enjoyed this great Big Ten. We're driving back, right? We're on I-70 West, headed back home, living on this high of Indiana just won the Big Ten championship. And somebody happens to text him like, oh, we're putting together a group for the Rose Bowl. And I looked at him, I'm like, we got to go to the Rose Bowl. We can't not go to the Rose Bowl.
We have to go to the Rose Bowl. If last time Indiana was in the Rose Bowl was 1967. O.J. Simpson was playing for USC. So my coach in the NFL Europe played on that team for Indiana. And I remember us telling Christian, I'm like, 1967 was the last Rose Bowl. We won the Big Ten. We're going to the Rose Bowl. We're going, and we're taking everybody. This is going to be...
So it was Robine family trip to the Pasadena is what it turned into. So, yeah, it was incredible.
Okay. Any big... How'd that game go?
You know, it was... It was exciting. Our tickets to that game were like 15 rows up in the corner of the end zone. And for me, the most exciting part of that game was... Indiana kind of just slowly took control, and D'Angelo Pons had a big hit on Alabama's quarterback at a key time and forced a fumble, cracked the guy's ribs, and clean hit too. And it was just a pretty much a dominant performance. They beat them 38-3, which again, okay, if you're an Indiana fan, and let's just pretend this was Minnesota and Illinois or anybody else of the same, you know, type of program. And you win the Big Ten championship by beating Ohio State. Now you go to the Rose Bowl and you're playing the storied Alabama Crimson Tide, okay? And then just to beat them like that badly.
The very first series, Alabama went got us 3 and out. And one of our girls wanted a snack. So I'm walking up the steps while we're in a timeout. And I hear the Alabama fans start chirping up behind us like, they haven't played this big boy football. Indiana doesn't know what they're in for. Big boy football is here. I mean, they're just chirping, right? And then they just flat out dominate. Those fans couldn't run out of the stadium fast enough after that game was over. They did not want anybody talking back after that. So, but I think when it cleared and it was the trophy presentation and just the Indiana fans were left, I mean, we had them at least 80-90% of that stadium was Indiana fans. It was a home crowd. It was so much fun. And it was neat to be in such a historical place and get to see everything that we got to see. And for the 5 days we were there, it poured rain. And the only time it did not rain the entire trip was during the football game.
I'll be darned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, cool time.
And then on to Peach Bowl.
The Peach Bowl. So Christian and I just went, and of course we're coming back from Pasadena after taking the family there, and I'm like, we're getting into like a year of college tuition here, Christian. I'm like, I just don't know. But I can just tell because, you know, you got every Saturday for 25 years. Since we've known each other, we have sat and watched these games. We don't miss. And you carry that with you, whether they win or lose. You know, you act like you don't care. Hey, that was a long time ago. But if they lose, it just, it goes with you, right? Mm-hmm. So we decided immediately that we're going to Atlanta. So that one was not easy because I flew out of Chicago and she flew out of St. Louis. We were in different places and we met in Atlanta. And we had outstanding tickets there. We were at the 50-yard line, 20 rows up, and got to see a lot of former players there as well. And from just the beginning of the game against Oregon, it was out the gate.
I was going to say that was fun for you because so many of your old teammates were there, and we got to meet up with them, which was really fun. And then the tickets we happened to have got us down on field level, which was really cool. We weren't expecting any of that kind of stuff. And it just ended up being, that part was really cool. And again, it's pouring rain in Atlanta, which we took as a good sign. Got in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And that, again, that was the first where they threw a pick in the first play of the game, and it was so loud, I think the noise would have registered on the Richter scale. I mean, that place was deafening. Like, you couldn't have heard, if he talked to me right beside me.
It's one of those plays when you're at the game, as soon as the ball left the quarterback's hand, from the angle we had, and you saw D'Angelo Pons undercut the route, I stood up before the ball even got there. I'm like, this is over. You know, he picked that thing off and went to the house on the first play, because everybody was speculating, like, is Indiana going to beat Oregon like they beat Alabama? And you're like, no way. Okay, Oregon is an excellent team. This is going to be a four-quarter game. And for the very first throw of the game to be a pick six, I was like, yeah, the dream keeps going. I was
like, here we go. And it's one of those scenes where truly everyone's jumping up and down and yelling, and you're high-fiving rows around you, and everybody's hugging. Yeah. I mean, truly, that's the scene inside of the stadium. It was just, it was awesome.
And again, you had I bet that game was 90% Indiana.
At least. Completely. That one was even more.
Mm-hmm. Indiana is a fan base that is very capable. They got one of the business schools in the nation, one of the largest alumni bases in the nation. This is an alumni base that has the means and the desire, the pent-up desire, to support a team like this. I mean, they travel very well.
They you know, and Indiana also has a large medical school, eye school, dental school, huge business school, like he said, but then just a ton of other very successful programs. I think the number one public affairs program in the country, huge alumni base, of course, Mark Cuban, Cook Family Pharmaceuticals. So, I mean, they have a lot of support. Yeah.
Well, and then there was no doubt you were going to go to the national championship.
Yeah, we had to. we were too far in.
At that point, again, it's just numb. And I will say the university was really good with former players about tickets. And
Take the kids?
We didn't take the kids because, again, we just felt like the price to get in versus their appreciation of the event. The average ticket for the national championship game was going for like $4,000 a piece for the top row in the stadium.
Oh, my.
Like so, the nosebleed section.
Mm-hmm. So, oh, my. Mm-hmm.
Just as an example, and this is nothing.
Was Indiana driving that price up?
Well, Indiana has.
Yes. So it was definitely by far blown out the highest price for any national championship they've ever had by far. But it was a perfect storm. You had Indiana coming down there for this long awaited game, right? But then you have Miami, and it's in Miami at their home stadium, and those
they
people could
game.
Sit and wait to buy a ticket until the last minute. It didn't matter because that was a home game for them. So it was just the perfect storm to drive the price up.
Everyone was waiting for the prices to go down, and I was telling them, I'm like, these prices are not going down.
They didn't.
Like the same tickets that we sat in at Atlanta, which were I thought were insane. These tickets were $20,000 to $24,000 a piece at the national championship is what they were going for on SeatGeek.
Crazy.
You know, on the 50-yard line.
Yep.
So we obviously didn't sit there.
Well, believe it or not, we've ran out of time at this episode. Mm-hmm. And we're going – so listeners, stay tuned. We're going to finish this up next episode.